This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehia Suhaib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
This is a very close race, and so anything that makes a difference in terms of both whether people do vote and then for whom they vote can make a difference.
That was Karen Holt, professor in the Department of Political Science at Virginia Tech, on whether the U.S. presidential debate that took place yesterday would move the needle one way or the other. Details coming up. Also, the debate touched issues of interest for Africa. And around the United States today, people are marking the 23rd anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks on New York and Washington. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. In the U.S. presidential election, the Republican Party's presidential nominee Donald Trump clashed with his Democratic Party rival Kamala Harris Tuesday evening over issues such as abortion, immigration, and foreign policy. VOA's chief national correspondent Steve Herman has details from the candidates' first debate in Philadelphia.
Standing 2 meters apart with no audience in the room, the two presidential nominees, who had never met before Tuesday night, had their first encounter, hosted by ABC News and simulcast on other broadcast networks to tens of millions of likely American voters. Vice President Kamala Harris spoke to those voters as much as she responded to the attacks from former President Donald Trump, setting much of her own course following President Joe Biden's withdrawal from the race.
Clearly, I am not Joe Biden. And I am certainly not Donald Trump. And what I do offer is a new generation of leadership for our country, one who believes in what is possible, one who brings a sense of optimism about what we can do instead of always disparaging the American people.
Trump blamed Harris, whom he called a Marxist, for a surge in illegal migration into the United States.
They've destroyed the fabric of our country. Millions of people let in.
Trump, without evidence, also blamed Harris for Russia invading Ukraine and the war in Gaza.
She hates Israel. At the same time, in her own way, she hates the Arab population because the whole place is going to get blown up. Arabs, Jewish people, Israel. Israel will be gone.
For Trump, it was his seventh time on the presidential debate stage, for Harris, her first. She said the Republican nominee is unfit to return to the White House, and there's a consensus about that among world leaders, except for the autocrats, whom Trump admires.
You adore strongmen instead of caring about democracy.
Trump's surrogates in the spin room, such as Republican Congressman Byron Donalds of Florida, said Harris failed to articulate what she would do as president.
Kamala Harris, all she did was attack him. She didn't talk about the policies. She didn't talk about her differentiations between her and the Biden administration. When Afghanistan came up, what did she say? A lot of nothing.
Nearly a third of voters polled prior to the debate said they were familiar with Trump but needed to learn more about Harris. The debate flushed out a clear contrast between the two, according to a Democratic Party congressman from California, Ted Lieu.
Kamala Harris was presidential. Donald Trump was weird and incoherent.
Unless Trump and Harris debate again before Election Day, this may have been their best opportunity to try to sway the relatively small number of undecided voters in the 7 swing states expected to decide who will become the next president of the United States. Steve Herman, VOA News, Philadelphia.
The debate between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump is now history. How did they both perform? What was the high and low points for both in the debate? Do debates move the needle one way or the other for voters? For answers, I talked to U.S. election expert Karen Holt, professor in the Department of Political Science at Virginia Tech University.
Well, it was, as many people are saying, it was quite a contentious debate, to be sure. I would say on balance, Vice President Harris probably got the better of former President Trump for a variety of reasons. She responded to questions most of the time in a clear, articulate kind of way. She stayed on point in a way that President Trump did not always do.
You're right. The vice president seemed to have prepared extensively for this debate while he kind of painted a dire picture of the United States.
Yes, I think so, both on the grounds I just outlined. But more than that, I thought Vice President Harris pretty much seemed to be in control of the debate since it started when she walked over and shook former President Trump's hand, which he was apparently not going to do when she walked on the stage. And I think from that point on, she acted much like the prosecutor that she has been for so many years in terms of, in effect, making a case against Mr. Trump as a candidate and what he did as president, but also trying to push forward her own plans and case for moving forward.
As far as you are concerned, what was the high and low points for both in the debate?
I need to preface my comments by saying that I am a former collegiate debater. And so calling these things debates is sometimes difficult for me to do. Having said that, though, I think, as I said before, Vice President Harris, for the most part, stayed on point. I think among the low points for her was that in many areas she never fully addressed the question. And that had to do, for example, with the initial question about how is the economy doing. She could certainly have talked about how, in fact, inflation has been declining over the course of the Biden-Harris administration. She also might have noted the unemployment numbers that have come down significantly. She chose instead to move to some of the talking points that she's pursued in various stump speeches. At the same time, I think on the whole, she did at least an adequate job, and in many cases, a very outstanding job, especially in terms of trying to engage Mr. Trump. His low points then came from when he sometimes appeared to take her bait and some of her criticism and then went off on series of ramblings and free associations. But most importantly, at least from my perspective, many of his assertions are not fully consistent with what we know evidence suggests. And that goes everywhere from probably the lowest point, in my view, was talking about Springfield, Ohio, and how immigrants there have been eating and capturing and eating household pets. No evidence for that, no evidence for the apparent upticks in crime in the United States, and the constant refrain on the biggest difficulty that the United States is facing has to do with undocumented people coming into the United States. Much of that is clearly a source of argument and debate and an important policy issue, but much of what he had to say was simply not as grounded in evidence as many people might prefer it to be.
And lastly, Karen, do debates move the needle one way or the other for voters?
You know, great question. And what a lot of our research suggests is not very much. Now, what it may do is this is a very close race. And so anything that makes a difference in terms of both whether people do vote and then for whom they vote can make a difference in the Electoral College vote, especially in states where the race is very, very tight. I don't think we know yet how much the so-called needle has been moved, but at least at this point, I would not be very optimistic that there would be a significant change when we look at this back at this in about a week or so.
That was Karen Hult, professor in the Department of Political Science at Virginia Tech University. A Nigerian international affairs expert says U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump had a good presidential debate last night. David Aworawo, a professor of international relations and strategic studies at the University of Lagos, says issues important to Africa came up in the debate. He spoke with reporter Mike Mbonye.
Well, it was a good debate. It gave the Americans the opportunity to be able to listen to the programs and policies of both candidates so they can make their choice based on factual information. It was a good debate. It was 50, as expected, but overall, it was a good debate.
What are some of your takeaways or specifics of interest during the Harris-Trump debate, sir?
The takeaways are these. First, that Kamala Harris, if she wins the election, will continue the policies of Joe Biden with some modifications, and broadly also the policies of the Democrats. She will, according to her, continue to support Israel but of course, pay attention to human rights. The immigration policy, it will continue the same way, it will be managed, there won't be extremes in it. You know, and you know, several of the other policies, the economy and the rest of them, from the comments she made, she will just continue from where Biden stopped, but of course, with modifications that will likely improve, you know, America's standing in the world. For Trump, the right-wing rhetoric states for multilateralism and extremes in America First will also continue from where he stopped in his first term, from the comments he made. You know, support for Israel, other, you know, international relations issues, the war in between Russia and Ukraine, all of those issues. He will simply continue from where he stopped and even be more extreme from the comments he made. So those are the takeaways that on the one hand, one vows to continue the Democrat policies with some modification from where Biden will stop, and Trump continue from where he stopped in the first term. Those extreme positions on foreign issues and, of course, on domestic issues as well.
Do you think that there are issues of interest to Africa, that there are issues that will be of interest to Africa during the debates that were highlighted?
There are no specifics, but we can glean from the generalities that were presented. Commitment to multilateralism, as Harris indicated, will mean that the U.S. will be, you know, committed to international institutions and all that, which will favor Africa. On the other hand, Trump's comments about America First, America interest, his extreme positions regarding immigration, and the policy to deport so many immigrants, he says the largest in history if he wins the election, also shows that it will be negative. It will affect Africa positively.
That was David Aworawo, a professor of international relations and strategic studies and head of the Department of History at the University of Lagos. He was speaking by phone with reporter Mike Mbonye from Lagos, Nigeria. You're listening to Africa News Tonight on The Voice of America, and find us on voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. I'm your host, Yeheyes Wuhib in Washington, and we'd love to hear from you. You can share your thoughts about the news and our programs by WhatsApp. The number is +1-202-258-3076. 1-202-258-3076. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing our listeners on Africa News Tonight. During VOA's live coverage of the U.S. presidential debate last night, host Carol Van Dam spoke with several analysts about the performance of the two candidates. Yetunde Odogbisan Omedi is a professor of global affairs and political at Farmingham State University in New York State. During VOA's English to Africa post-debate analysis program, she said she thought Vice President Kamala Harris scored a point when she discussed her position on the Israeli-Hamas war.
I think Harris did a good job in explaining what her foreign policy stance is and talking about we need a new generation of leaders and what she would do regarding the Israel and Palestinian war and wanting to have a ceasefire immediately. And her actually also talking to the Palestinian people and saying that, you know, she understands their, you know, their outcry and also their rage and also advocating for a two-state solution.
Omidi says Harris said things the Palestinian people have been waiting to hear. Just before the debate began, Carol spoke with Republican strategist Charlie Giro, a Pennsylvanian Republican who also heads the public relations company Quantum Communications. Giro said some political polls that show Harris doing better than former President Donald Trump may be misleading.
Well, the national polls are always going to be a little bit suspect because Republican candidates, including Donald Trump, don't do terribly well nationally. But where they do well are in the states that matter, the so-called battleground states that will form the electoral map that puts you in the White House. And that's where Donald Trump continues to do very, very well, although now the national polls that are out just recently show it essentially a dead heat. I think it is going to be a very, very close election.
You can check out all of VOA's presidential campaign coverage on voanews.com, voaafrica.com, and all your favorite social media platforms. In Johannesburg, reporter Tuso Kumalo spoke with people about the two U.S. presidential candidates. Lerato Siki likes former President Donald Trump's drive.
Mr. Donald Trump has a passion. He's passionate about everything, global teenager, entrepreneurial skilled people who wants to be employed in web business as the president of ours in here in RSA. Yes, he got passion for all these things.
But Tato Malate likes the idea of a female president.
I think it's time for change. A female leader, somebody that's going to be there for women, because Trump has revealed that he doesn't actually care about women that much. So yeah, we need change.
Around the United States today, people are marking the 23rd anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks on New York and Washington. Nearly 3,000 people died when planes hijacked by Al-Qaeda militants struck the Twin Towers in New York City, the Pentagon just outside Washington, and when passengers aboard a fourth plane forced it to crash in the state of Pennsylvania. That day kicked off what the United States called the Global War on Terrorism. The initial invasion of Afghanistan began October 7, 2001, and was dedicated to pushing back the Taliban and Al-Qaeda terrorist organizations. On May 2, 2011, U.S. commandos killed Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden. The war on terror continued, however, and the United States encountered a new threat known as the Islamic State and its affiliates in Africa. VOA senior analyst Mohammed El-Shenawy discussed the U.S. campaign on terror following the 9/11 attacks with Jonathan Lewis, a research fellow on extremism at George Washington University Program on Extremism.
The war on terror has been one of mixed results. You saw tactical success against individual foreign terrorist organizations like Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State. But challengingly, what you haven't seen is a lasting strategic victory, one which has targeted the root causes of extremism and terrorism.
As terrorism expanded with affiliates in Africa, the United States was engaged in helping the Sahel countries in counter-terrorism efforts. However, recently, the United States was forced out of Africa. What's your take on that?
The developments with respect to the United States' counterterrorism posture in Africa is really one that represents an enduring challenge. We've seen in recent cases where the United States' counterterrorism operations have withdrawn, namely Afghanistan in recent years, where you've seen extremist groups take advantage, especially because when you look at other nations like Russia and China, who have taken the place of the United States in trying to lead those counterterrorism efforts, they've been met with mixed results. And so what we've seen is groups like Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State have begun to fill that gap and use those areas as safe havens to launch attacks against America and against the West.
The counterterrorism efforts focus basically on security measures, but not on the core reasons for terrorism. How do you explain that?
I think when you look at the historical efforts to counter terrorism, oftentimes the most successful and the easiest courses of action for these countries have been the kinetic measures. But I think the reality is that addressing those root causes is difficult, right? They are oftentimes deeply complex issues like national security, like immigration, issues which get at the heart of many of the core issues and challenges within Western countries. And so when we see efforts that are very limited, very targeted at only those kinetic responses, we're doomed to only see very limited results.
So what's needed to counter terrorist groups around the world?
It has to start with holistic whole of society approaches. We cannot simply have one nation going at it alone. When you look at the resurgence of the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria in recent years, when you look at the issues around repatriation that are going on across Europe with respect to the thousands of individuals still held in camps like Al-Hol in Iraq and Syria, when you have thousands of women and children who still are, you know, in this very fertile recruitment ground for the Islamic State, I think these are really pressing issues and ones which really do need to be addressed, you know, before there is yet another resurgence of the Islamic State in that region.
That was Jonathan Lewis, who studied extremism at a research fellow on extremism at the George Washington University program on extremism here in Washington. He was speaking with my colleague, Mohammed Elshenawi.
VOA Africa has a wide variety of programs for you. News, lifestyle, health, politics, youth, women, sports. We have it all. Tune into our discussion shows on the radio, television, and the internet on voaafrica.com.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America. You can always find us on voaafrica.com, and there you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. I'm your host, Yehia Suhib, in Washington, and we have an announcement. We'd love to hear from you. You can share your thoughts about the news and our programs by WhatsApp. The number is +1 202 258 3076. +1 202 258 3076. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing our listeners' comments on African News Tonight.
Hello. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message, leave comments, requests, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1. Then 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice. The number again is the international code +1. Then 202-258-3076.
And with that, we wrap up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehia Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, David Van Dee, and our engineer, Al Santos, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.